This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread, and it looks to me as if it's wintertime down under and summer's arriving upstairs. It's wonderful. This is Postcard from Potbread. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm enjoying the sun, the skirt's getting shorter, and the day's getting longer. I'm in the town of Potbread, which is probably why we call the programme what it is, in Slovakia. And normally we would cross now to the UK, but we're not today. We're going to zip in our TARDIS 2 hours ahead of us and go into the salt mines of Russia to find the right place for a Lee Banks. Hello.
Hello, dear. Thank you very much. I think you've just upset the whole of the Georgian community. I am on the borders of Russia in that beautiful, incredible country called Georgia, the giant poprad of Central or Eastern Europe.
Sounds like you've been arrested already. You're in a prison cell.
Well, in some ways, I should have been after the... I tell you what, try Georgian wine.
No, we'll go there later. In Queensland, in Australia, the hour's the other way, is Rachel.
Hello. How are you all? I'm not even going to discuss the wisdom tooth thing.
You're not?
No, but I'm about to get them extracted, and I'm afraid I'm going to be losing some of my wisdom.
Oh, God.
You've got to have all your wisdom teeth taken out.
Just the bottom two.
Oh, have you already got
top two? The top two have already gone. The top two went. That's when I started getting a bit silly.
Do you know what? I know she's going to sound... Hold on a minute. I know she's going to sound terribly anoraky.
Yeah.
And all in sort of radio geeky. But isn't right. It wonderful? You're in Georgia... Rachel's in Queensland, I'm in Slovakia, and we're having a conversation.
Absolutely. That's incredible.
Isn't that nice?
And the thing is, ladies technology. And gentlemen, I haven't even got a microphone. I'm just shouting at an iPad.
Well, you can't win them all, can you? We'll come on to Apple later. We're going to be serious for a minute, boys and girls. This week, yeah. I've never seen a country suffer so much in all my life. I can't believe what is going on in the USA, especially to our friends at Talk Radio X. Our thoughts and prayers are with all of you and everything that's going on over there. We're not going to labour on it too much because, you know, the bombs that went off in the marathon are made by people that have no scruples. No, they haven't even got any courage. They're chickens. They're not even real people in my book, because to put something down and run away and then murder an 8-year-old girl just beggars belief. Whatever the afterlife is, which I don't know, I hope it's hot where you are permanently, because that would be the best thing for you. We do know that the police have been checking everything out. One of the terrorists is already caught and has been killed. And that there are huge amounts of perimeters being set up all over the place. But I'd like to say one thing quickly to these idiots. There was a lovely conversation with Mo Farah, the gold-winning Olympian, this morning on TV, where he said, "I am going to run in the London Marathon." Uh-huh. And there was a couple of other guys on there, some footballers as well, who don't normally get good press for good conversation, but they said, "We're going to run just to tell the terrorists, we don't care about you. You're nothing." Uh-huh. And I have to say, I respect them immensely. I want to wish good luck to the Boston Police Force. It must be terrible having lost one of your own, as well as trying to find these evil characters. And locking them up and throwing the key away would be just too good, really, I think.
I think you're absolutely right.
I actually had a
right,
bit of a joyful story out of this, you guys. I heard something really nice today. A reporter, a journalist in Boston, was reporting that people had finished the marathon, were running, still running, and they kept running, and they ran to the nearest hospital and donated blood.
Lovely.
So, you know, that's a really... You know, people can really rise to the occasion, can't they?
Yeah, and I think we also should congratulate the organisers of the London Marathon this weekend, who are donating £2 for every runner that finishes to the appeal over in Boston. I think that's really good of you as well.
I think it's really good. I think we've got to point out, though, that these people who were attacked by whoever it is were just at the most vulnerable you possibly could ever be. So this was one of the most horrendous acts since 9/11.
Mm. And I think, you know, I'm not making light of this, anybody, anywhere in the world, but, you know, even the word terrorist is too nice for these people.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And actually, nobody's really pinpointed it down to terrorism at the moment. And,
well, no, correction. The police commissioner in Boston has. But that's aside. We're going to try and cheer you up a little bit on the programme this week because there's so much doom and gloom about.
Yeah.
And we've got we do this now and again. I don't think we've done this since Rachel's been on the show. So it could be a first for Rachel.
I love firsts.
We like to give out awards.
I remember them all fondly.
was that fondling or fondly?
Both.
Yeah, go on. We like to give out awards every now and again on this show. And this week we've got an amazing award going out to Brisbane Airport in Australia.
Oh, dear. Really?
You've got to say, this actually does make you laugh, doesn't it?
Ho, ho, ho. Literally.
I know.
The email, dear listener, has flooded in. Oh, that's the point. I haven't said hello to Replay Radio, RTI, Audio, Burn, Spreaker. I've done it now. The email has flooded in this week, dear listener, with this little story, which I will share with you. I was waiting for my next flight and availing myself of the free Wi-Fi in Brisbane Airport. That's nice. I read something particularly hilarious a friend had written to me. I laughed at the anecdote. I laughed very hard indeed. I was then approached by the member of the Australian Federal Police, who said, "Excuse me, madam, are you aware you're making an unnecessary amount of noise which is disturbing the other patrons?" Our dear listener replied, I was just laughing at something I was reading. He replied in a police voice, "Well, I am cautioning you at this point. Any further disturbance will see you removed from the terminal." Our little listener said,
Was it really a caution was actually issued over this?
Hang on, let me finish. But at the same time in the airport, there was 50 screaming children running around. And I think it would have been nice of you, dear listener, not to just sort of say, would you have felt better had you had your daily coffee and donuts? I think you should have gone and bought them for the policeman, because that might have made him feel better. But yes, and I then wrote, because you see, they do this in Australia and New Zealand, and there's a load of programmes on the television over here which do not portray Australia in the best light. And I pointed this out to the Australian Tourist Office.
What sort of programmes are you talking about?
Fly on the wall documentaries about going into Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, where they are. Well, it makes the American immigration system sound quite nice in comparison.
Yes.
And that's quite...
Sergeant Rubber Gloves at work.
Yes, that's quite draconian, the American one. Anyway, so we wrote on behalf of the listener, who remains nameless, because we don't want the police going neek, 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 neek behind them, to find out if we could help a little bit and get this sorted out. So this is the second award of the week, which goes to the Australian Tourism Board for great PR puff. And it's from lovely Leo Seaton. I think Leo's probably a nice lad. He says, "Dear Eric, sorry to hear of your listener's experience." Goes on and on and on to explain how GFK, which is a sort of a research company, says how wonderful everything is. But he does say that he can't really comment, which is fair enough, because he doesn't know about the specific thing, but kind of suggests that we write to the airport. Now, I know what happens. Lee and I know exactly what happens. If you write to an airport, it'll go in file 13, the bin.
Uh-huh.
It's not something that would take a top flight attitude towards.
Or they might answer on the wing. Yes, I know. So we trawled around and we found the minister's email address. And we thought, we'll write to him as well.
Albo.
Yes, we did. And as suggested by Lee Seaton, Manager Media Relations Tourism Australia, we are sharing the views of an unhappy traveller. See below. Blah, 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 blah. To wit, we got an email back from, I think it's Jacinta Messer. Jacinta Messer. Good afternoon, Mr. Wiltshire. Eck.
That's very polite, isn't it? It is. Talking to you.
Thank you. Well, anyway, she clearly doesn't know, and they are going to investigate this, and they're going to get back to us within 5 days. Not only that, she is clearly investigating, so we will come back to this, because she's wrote again, which I've now written back to her, to say which terminal was it. Like, I know I live in Slovakia, my darling. I'm not in Brisbane, but we have found this out. And we are going to email that over to you. So next week, we are hoping to get a full report from the Brisbane Airport on why people are cautioned for laughing in the terminal.
It's an incredible story.
There's a lot of Australian Federal Police presence at that airport, and at a lot of the airports around our country, but in particular this one. This is the main hub to get into this state, this airport.
Oh, I see.
So it's like if I were to fly from somewhere to somewhere, I live in Gladstone. I fly from Gladstone to Brisbane and then to somewhere.
Oh right,
so
I get it.
it's the hub, and that's why they may have got confused with the international domestic situation. But there's a lot of coppers there.
Well, indeed. Well, and we have to say a little thank you to you, I think, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yes, because it's funny.
Yes, you should.
It is funny. Seriously funny.
I don't know why. I'm about to find out.
Now, our email contribution from Australia seems to have gone up in the last couple of months since Rachel's been with us.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Yeah. So it's all your fault, Rach.
Listen, can you I just
it.
Something
yeah,
about
I'm
this
I'm going to annoy
story.
You.
Yeah, go on, Lee. You can do your little bit.
But it's just an interesting story because, actually, I can tell you that this is not an unusual... Well, it is unusual, and perhaps but I have another example of it, which I think is equally as incredible. I had a barbecue at my house, and Eric knows that my house is in the middle of nowhere. The closest neighbour's like half a mile away.
Yeah,
we had a barbecue, went on a bit late, and as people who listen to this show will know that I am usually very quiet, quietly spoken, don't make a noise, don't raise an issue. But
hang on, there's something gone wrong with the mixer here.
Why?
I'm obviously talking to the wrong Lee Banks.
See,
I
ladies
think
and
there's a liar pants on fire.
I think you're right. Yeah, Pinocchio knows that.
Anyway, I laughed at my barbecue. No, I didn't laugh at my barbecue. I laughed while I was having my barbecue.
I probably would have laughed at your barbecue.
Anyway, one of my lovely neighbours complained to the police, not about the noise of the barbecue, but about my laughter. Now, I have to say at this point, this is the genuine truth. These neighbours are actually both deaf. The police came, and the police told me off for laughing too loudly. And do you know what their solution was?
What?
They said, this is true, ladies and gentlemen, I can prove it. They said to me, if you want to laugh at this time in the morning, when you're about to laugh, go and stand in your garage.
Right, hang on. So we're just about to go, Doctor Who, ha, ha, ha. Hang on, I'm going to run to the garage.
Yes! Amazing. And this thing in Australia is just as ludicrous. I'm glad they're actually asking to know which terminal it was at,
yeah.
Because at least they might be actually going to find this policeman person.
Honestly, for anybody at the tourist board listening down there, you are getting bad press over here.
And
you're being likened to some of the negative stuff about America.
Yeah.
Because of the way your guys, not everybody when they walk into a terminal airport reads the small print on the notices. You know,
and does it say there, don't laugh?
I don't know, but, cut some people some slack. It wouldn't hurt, would it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, we move on because we've got so much to get in this week. And while Lee's over in Georgia, and I hope you're drinking or having lots, ask Luke to take you out to get some borscht.
Boy, she's beautiful.
Good. Well, you should, I'll tell you why you should have lots of it while you're there. I thought we'd have a quick little shut up from me and Rachel for a minute, because maybe a lot of people see Georgia in the negative light from when it was in the press for all the wrong reasons a few years ago. And so this is Lee's special report from Georgia. What's he like?
It's absolutely wonderful, Eric. Absolutely incredible. I love it here. I'll tell you what it's like, and all our listeners will know what I'm talking about, that it is actually like a gigantic pop rad. It's just amazing. You can still, unfortunately, see the effects of its breakaway from Russia. There still are, you know, all sorts of military bases around the borders. And you've got to remember, this country is bordered by Russia, the Black Sea, and some of the Arab countries. And it really is hemmed in, very much like Slovakia is. And but it's absolutely glorious. I'm in the town, I can never say this properly, and ladies and gentlemen in Georgia, you have to forgive me, but I'm in the capital of Tbilisi, or Tbilisi, which Tbilisi. That's the one.
Yeah.
Being a travel writer, as everybody knows, I always get the names right. And it's just a wonderful place. The problem is, it has the problems that Poprad had maybe 10 years ago. There is so much dereliction and buildings need repairing. There's so many people out of work. You still actually have beggars on the streets. But on the plus side, they've opened up probably one of the world's most strange expo centres on top of a hill. And it's got a London Eye there. It has a model that you can only describe as the Eiffel Tower, and a fairground. Now, to all intents and purposes, an expo centre, which I think Elton John appeared at, it shouldn't just be a fairground. But you go up there, and it is quite staggering, old-fashioned. And what I like about it is that it's old-fashioned. It seems to represent all the good values of the 60s and the 70s, and it's moved into this area of freedom. One of the strangest things I saw, because bear in mind, we're right in the heart of the Caucasians here, nobody really speaks English. The English language is not a major language here. Yeah. But one thing, and it obviously dated back a long way, they're on the side of a hill where they're now building a new hotel. In block capital letters in English, there's a sign, and I've not found out what it's about yet, but I will do before I leave. There's just a sign. It must be 50 feet high, and it just says very simply in English, "Help me."
That's right. It was on the television.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was on TV during the major troubles out there. It was a focal point of a lot of television coverage years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's still here. And in a way, I respect that. I respect the Georgian people for actually maintaining it and leaving it there to show what life was like before they made this breakaway move. Yeah. Everything's so cheap as well, Eric.
I know, apart from McDonald's.
McDonald's is very expensive. That's one thing that Georgia has that Poprad doesn't have.
No,
it has a McDonald's.
No one wants.
And you know,
that's good that that's expensive.
That's
rubbish.
Good that we don't have one. We don't want one.
But it probably is the most expensive restaurant in Georgia. I can't believe it.
Really?
Yeah, it costs you a tenner to eat.
And the worst.
Right, so Mr. Banks, how long have you been there?
3 days now.
Right, so how much Georgian can you speak?
Nothing. None. Not a word. I can't even say thank you or please. I use that great old lexicon of international language, pointing and smiling.
Ah, right.
And it works like a dream. I was going to tell you very briefly, if I can, about the Georgian wine. If anybody gets a chance to buy and drink Georgian wine, if you see it on a supermarket shelf, buy it. The wine is the only wine, as far as I'm aware, in the world which uses every bit of the grape, including the bits of wood and the branches and all that sort of thing, and the cusp and all that. And do you know how they ferment it?
No.
They bury it in the ground, and it's fermented underground, wow. And it is so rich.
And, of course, we all encourage everybody to drink in moderation, which is lovely.
They also sell absinthe, which makes your heart grow fonder, I tell you.
Hang on. Where's moderation?
That's a little town just outside Tlislipli.
So that's where you drink. All right.
Yeah, okay.
I got it.
So basically, you like it, and that was the commercial for the tourist board then.
I came to Poprad right at its burgeoning when it was like it was coming out of the ashes. It was, and I know you and I, or you particularly anyway, did a lot to promote Slovakia in its embryonic stages. And I wrote a few articles on Aqua City and Poprad and the way Slovakia was developing. I think I wrote six articles. I wrote part of the, if you remember, part of the Brat Guide to Slovakia.
Yep.
And I think when nations like this are so brave and are trying to do something good for themselves, and they get it wrong, you know, we all make mistakes, I think we should tell the world about it. They're worth visiting. Then you don't see places like this.
Well, it's really funny, Lee, because, and I apologise in advance for this story, but I told the young lady who was helping me, and I will say thank you to her in a minute because she's wonderful, yesterday, when I first came here, I said to my then PA, I need to get a haircut. I was looking a bit like Lee. I was like a hippie, you know, really bad stuff. Yeah. So she took me to this.
The difference is, ladies and gentlemen, in Eric's case, it's hippie, break.
Aha. She took me to this austere building, which had got one light on with a bulb inside. And there's all these fellas sitting around. And I swear to God, it was as if they put a pudding basin on their heads, and they go, meow, and that was it. And I'm going, I'm not having my haircut there. Why not? Because I'm not. What, have you not got a salon? No. And we genuinely didn't have a salon of any caliber whatsoever in the town. And she had to go and talk nicely to a lady that did ladies' hair and ask her really, really, really nicely if she cut my hair for me.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I could get my hair cut properly.
See, so you couldn't speak the language either.
Well, I can now. But there again, there's a connection here, you see. Because yesterday we found, just opened in the far side of the town, a young lady has opened a chiropody centre on the side of a salon. And she learnt chiropody in Sydney, Australia.
Ah.
And she'd come back home to have a child, which was about 18 months ago. And yesterday, she touched my feet.
Well, nobody touches feet like Sydney people, I tell you. Ask Henry O'Donovan, he'll tell you.
No, but she's a very beautiful blonde, blue-eyed young lady. And thank you ever so much for all the things, because I've had ingrown toenails and they were hurting. And she's fixed everything. She's wonderful. So I'm going back in. I'm going back in about 4 weeks. And she speaks incredibly good English for somebody who learnt it in Australia.
Oh, yes, all righty. I learned it there too, don't worry.
So thank you to everybody at All In One for being really nice and making me feel welcome yesterday. And an hour's treatment, €9.50.
Well, you know, you're talking about Borch.
God.
You're talking about, you know how much it is here?
Go on.
One, whatever the thing is over here, it costs about 40p for a bowl of the world's greatest borscht. And the Turkish cucumbers they use are amazing.
We're coming on to borscht later, so we'll stop there. Just very quickly, I would like to congratulate this week the BBC sound technicians and the wardrobe department at Sky News.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Lady Thatcher's funeral. Now,
right.
There was lots and lots and lots of concerns about protesting and people doing all sorts of nasty things. And unfortunately, people like us, Rachel Lee and I, we tend to have, shall we say, an ear for mistakes on television and radio. It makes us the world's worst. And on the BBC, I heard one little quiet boo in the background as Lady Thatcher's gun carriage was moving past, and the BBC in a millisecond switched to a different sound feed, so none of the protesters were ever heard.
Wonderful job, guys. Brilliantly done.
Excellent.
Absolutely excellent. And my hats off go to Sky News. Their team, from the breakfast show right the way through the afternoon, were dressed properly. They were in the correct black coats, the correct black skirts and shirts and ties, and everything was absolutely impeccable. And I have to say, whoever sorted that out at Sky News, I congratulate you. And if all of the presenters and correspondents did it off their own backs, I think you're all to be commended. Mr. Murdoch should give you a pay rise. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you're right. And I think also, you know, there's obviously a lot of controversy. And I, like I said last week, I think England should hang its head in shame for its attitude towards
Me
that.
Too.
Whether you agree with her politics and what she did or not, there is no reason to try and turn it into a number one hit, a woman's death into a number one hit. It is absolutely...
And anyway, that failed anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it got to number two.
It failed getting to number one. That's good enough for me.
Her granddaughter was gorgeous, though, wasn't she? Her granddaughter spoke.
Yeah. Beautifully.
Like she was channeling her. She was just the most eloquent, beautiful girl, and to strikingly beautiful to look at. I thought of her and all this rubbish that's going on. Mm. And I thought, her grandmother's died, for goodness sakes. Can we not pull our heads in?
Yeah, exactly. Because at the end of the day, she was grandma.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And nothing else. And I think the
dignity, though.
Yeah, and I think the bishop actually got it right in his miniature sermon. And said, look, you know, you might argue one way or the other, but at the end of the day, this is the point of Margaret Thatcher leaving this world. And I thought he was absolutely right, and I commend him as well. Brilliantly done.
Mm. Yeah.
And,
well done.
And the military people, where else in the world could you see that?
Yeah, it is.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Very quickly, as we come towards the end of part one, some good news on the terrorism front. Four guys that live in Luton in Bedfordshire were jailed this week for planning to put a bomb in the Territorial Army Centre in Luton by putting it on a little toy and driving it by remote control under the gates. There we go. Yeah. You see, there's more devotion to duty, being proud of what you're talking about, and actually having the guts to stand up. No, I'm going to put a bomb on a toy and drive it under the gates.
Mm. Yes, very good.
Yes, absolutely. They've been jailed for various custodial sentences and all sorts of things, and there's going to be licences afterwards. I should not bother letting them out, really. It's just stay there.
What's the point?
Yeah.
People who do things like this, like, you know, obviously Boston and all, everything else, these are not the dregs of society. They're not political activists. They're not even animals. These people are killing innocent people. The Territorial Army has been brought in because of government cuts to become almost our first line of defence. And for them to be now seen by people who carried this kind of thing out, it's for them to be seen as cannon fodder is another reason that this world should hold its head.
We'll be back in part, a couple of minutes in part two of Postcard from Pop Red, where we say, do you work in bed?
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.